This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Do you think that I might forget all my love? It's radiating further away.
You're with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community.
And welcome to the Spirit Lounge. You're with Joy the Priest, Bertie the Pom, and Andrew the Poof.
Good evening, and we have a packed show again. 1 hour is never long enough. And tonight we're talking about the connection between spirituality and art, which is a wonderfully colourful topic. And to continue the theme of colour, the Spirit Spa will be exploring the human body's colour aura and how colour can affect our moods, and we should be very careful what colour we're wearing.
Oh, I'm wearing black. That's a bit of a worry. So, if you would like to join in our discussions, you can do so with SMS
0427 Joy 949
or phone
1300 Joy 949
or email
onair@joy.org.au.
So, join in with us in the conversation. What art speaks to you, speaks to your spirit. Okay, with us in the studio, we have a special guest from the Centre of Theology and Ministry, and you're going to meet her later on, and we're going to talk about what she actually does. But she's brought us all the music tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So if you love it, it's her fault.
Down to me.
So welcome to Spirit Lounge, Chris Rowntree.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and to tell you more about my work. But you want me to go straight to my first choice?
We do.
Mm. Well, that's really great because it's an unusual choice, I reckon. It's some ancient music from the second half of the 14th century. I've chosen it because I'm really interested in pilgrimage. That's my thing. And I'm really interested in pre-Enlightenment arts. So labyrinths and pilgrimages and that kind of thing really intriguing me at the moment.
We needed you on the show the other week. We were talking about labyrinths, weren't we?
Yeah.
We were.
Cool.
We didn't know much about them, but
we're talking about exploring them.
Yeah. So this track is from Hesperian 20, who are now, since it's the 21st century, renamed themselves Hesperian 21. It's from the Red Book of Montserrat. And it's really a dance. It's music that was created for the pilgrims once they got to the centre, to Montserrat, to actually cut loose and dance. It probably doesn't sound that exciting when you listen to it, but you've got to imagine these pilgrims getting there finally and really wanting to celebrate. But there's some notes in the book that says that the pilgrims should speak in a restrained manner and avoid frivolous songs and indecent dances on the way to while at the shrine as well as on the way back home.
Oh dear.
There goes our dancing around the studio.
Oh my.
Anyway, have a listen to how pilgrims cut loose in the 14th century.
Woohoo. And we're all now sitting down after that dance.
We've been dancing around the studio naked.
Oh, my Gosh, don't tell them that. That will put them off. They'll be turning off in droves.
Thank God it's radio.
You're on Spirit Lounge, and you're with the priest, the Pom and the Poof. Over to you, Pom.
Yes, we are delighted to welcome on the phone from Sydney the Reverend Dr. Rod Patton. Rod is an artist, an art historian, an academic. And Rod, you sound like you are a very busy project person. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much. Great to join you.
Well, it's lovely to have you here now. Your colleague Chris is also with us.
Hey, Rod.
Hi, Chris.
So we would like to just kick off and start to ask you some questions.
Sure.
First of all, I think, Rod, could you just tell us a bit about yourself and your art and spirituality and past and maybe current projects that you're working on?
Sure. Well, I'm a minister in the Uniting Church, and I had an unusual entry into that career choice because my first choice of tertiary education was art school. So I spent 4 years at art school slaving over a hot canvas and mm-hmm. learnt all about intuition and creativity, and then decided that my career path was with the church. So I know that most of my colleagues are accountants and school teachers, etc., when we entered college. So for me, it's been a bit of a journey. I'm trying to bring those two worlds together. What is the, you know, the purpose of creativity, and then theology reflecting on God. So that led me to be involved with the Blake Prize, mm-hmm. which is a prize for religious and spiritual arts. So I guess I value the role of creativity in life. We've all got to improvise and make it up as we go. So I think the arts teach us a great deal about what it is to be human and how we can create life for ourselves and others.
Rod, it's Joy here. Just wanting to ask you who William Blake was, who the Blake Prize is obviously named after.
Sure. William Blake is a great figure in English history. He was a poet and an artist, and he's a very well-known lithographer and artist and a figure in English history. And he's been a great inspiration for many, many artists since, because he was a bit of an outsider, a bit of a visionary. And so in 1951, when this group in Sydney began to think about developing a prize for art, they chose the name Blake because he was a bit of an outsider. He was an artist, as it were, rather than being aligned to a particular denomination or group. So that's why it was named after William Blake.
And hence, is that why you have poetry as part of it?
Yes, just in the last couple of years, we decided to extend the prize giving to include poetry. It seemed a very appropriate thing to celebrate Blake's name, but I think also because artists and poets have a lot to do, I think, with a similar approach. They often work away very quietly in the studio, so it's a very introverted and thoughtful practice. So yes, I think poetry and visual art have a lot in common, and we began that prize about 3 years ago and were overwhelmed with the response. And I think the last 3 years, each year about 800 people from around Australia submit poems to the poetry prize. So I think out there in suburbia there's a lot of people whittling away with pens or computers, thinking about crafting words around what their sense of spirituality is.
That's incredible. 800.
That's a good turnout.
That's a lot to read through.
Yes, that's right. It's a great challenge for the three judges to read all of those poems and then come up with a short list and award a prize of $5,000 to a poet. So it's I think it's the third largest poetry prize in Australia, which is very exciting to have the subject matter as this subject matter of religion and spirituality.
That's incredible. Now, is the exhibition, is it travelling all the way around Australia? And I understand it is coming to Melbourne soon, is that right?
Yes, this is this current year is the Blake will turn 60, and so the 59th exhibition is currently travelling around Australia. It's been to Adelaide, obviously started in Sydney, and it's heading very soon to Melbourne, and then on to Hobart and to other nether regions. So we're excited that it's coming to Melbourne. It does come to Melbourne quite regularly every couple of years. It's been in St Paul's Cathedral and a few other well-known places, but we're really excited to be working with the people from Toorak Uniting Church, who have provided a wonderful home for the exhibition and creating quite a wonderful conversation around the exhibition. So it's very exciting, and I look forward to being there.
So if I had a bit of talent, which I actually don't in this area, could I submit an artwork for into the exhibition for next year?
I would love you to.
Well, no, no, I'm just pretending here.
Hypothetical question.
Well, it's a wonderful challenge, and for visual artists, I think I've been involved with the Blake for quite a few years, and I'm noticing that artists are actually quite interested in this subject matter, and increasingly, given we live in a multicultural society, I think the subject matter of what moves us most, what we feel passionate about, what makes us feel angry, or what you know really motivates our sense of justice, this is caught up in the subject matter of the Blake, and I think artists do say it gives them a chance to spread their wings, as it were, and include subject matter that wouldn't normally be acknowledged. Most art prizes in Australia are about landscape or portraits, mm-hmm. and the Blake really does give a much more open canvas to artists to explore their work. So this year we had over 1,200 entrants in the Visual Arts Prize, and they range from traditional paintings through to photography and installation art and digital work and sculpture and installation and all sorts of weird and wonderful things. So it's quite exciting when it's sort of like Christmas when you begin to receive all these great submissions.
It's a huge job for you.
Yeah, but it's a wonderful job, and it's great to see the range of things that are interesting, what's catching their eye. And we've had work that reflect bushfires and which are in this current exhibition. So, all the things that people are concerned about in the world in which we live, I think, are reflected back to us through the eyes and the words of artists and poets.
Mm. Rod, fascinating stuff. We're going to have to leave it there. Just before you go, is there a website that people can visit to find out more?
Oh, sure. Just look for blakeprize.com.au, and there's a whole wonderful array of all the images from the current exhibition and a couple of YouTube introductions to the sorts of material. So, yes, it's quite a feast on the website.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's great. Thank you.
Thanks, right. Rod.
Bye-bye. That was the Reverend Dr. Rod Puttenden talking to us from Sydney about the Blake Society and the Blake Prize, which is coming up, and Chris will be telling us lots more about that. You're on Joy 94.9 on the Spirit Lounge, and we have the next track, which is Eric Clapton, No Reason to Cry, from Black Summer Rain.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Andrew, with Bertie, and with Joy. And our special guest tonight on Couch Chat is Chris Rowntree, and her title is Artful Faith Coordinator. Try and say that fast 10 times. At the Uniting Church Centre for Theology and Ministry. Chris has had theatre and dance training. She also has community festival and event management experience and a passion for visual art and design. Chris, in her role as the Artful Faith Coordinator, encourages art in the life, worship and mission of the church, offering activities and events where skills and resources are shared. Chris, welcome to Couch Chat on the Spirit Lounge.
Hey, thanks so much.
It's quite the lengthy introduction. I'm not really 100% sure about what does the Centre for Theology and Ministry actually do.
I can tell you a bit about that. It's like the educational institution or the training place where ministers are trained to be ministers. Where we teach theology, biblical studies, and
is it kind of like a Bible college?
It's a bit like that, yeah. There's more to it than that, and there's a number of us who do a lot of other kind of work with youth ministry, with children and families ministry, and my work in the arts, encouraging the church to engage across all the art forms.
Great. So, can you tell us a little bit more about how exactly you go about encouraging, like what?
Yeah, well, I work with congregations mostly, people who want to kind of engage the arts or work with artists to, you know, work in their community. I do a lot of encouraging of artists, and I really love that part of my work. And at the Centre for Theology and Ministry, we've got an art gallery and a performing venue, so I'm working there as well to liven that space. Yeah, it's very varied.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Chris, do you want to now introduce your next track for us?
Sure. And this is sort of heading towards talking a little bit about the Blake and the Babylon conference that we're getting ready for. I wanted to bring in Gurumul Yunupingu's work, a wonderful Aboriginal singer from the Yolngu people in the Northern Territory, because the Blake Prize always has a really strong showing of Aboriginal work.
Okay.
And I think it's a real strength of the Blake that Aboriginal artists are welcomed and their spirituality is respectfully shown in the Blake. So I think we have so much to learn from our Indigenous brothers and sisters, and I just love this track, Beiwara, by Gurumul.
I heard my mother from the long...
Hi, my name is Josh Thomas, and you're listening to Joy 949, which is, it's for gay people.
And you are with the Priest, the Pom and the Puff on the Spirit Lounge. And we have a fascinating topic tonight, which is arts and spirituality. And we're joined in the studio by Christina Rowntree, who is the Art for Faith Coordinator at the Centre for Theology and Ministry. And we've also been talking to the Reverend Dr. Rod Pattinson up in Sydney about the Blake Prize exhibition that is touring. But Chris, tell us, there's a conference attached to this as well, isn't there? Tell us more about the Babylon Conference.
Thanks. Yeah, we thought that by having the Blake Prize exhibition come to Melbourne, it was an ideal opportunity to really get to converse about art, contemporary art, and our multicultural Victoria, Melbourne, our society, because a lot of the artworks really respond to what it means to be in Australia. Mm-hmm. So we played with this idea of conversation, the fact that a lot of people feel a little bit hesitant to actually speak about their response to contemporary art. They can feel, you know, unless they've studied it, that you know, they haven't really got a right to say, you know, well, how they feel about it.
Uh-huh.
So conversation is our primary mode for this conference. So it's less about academic presentations, so I think it will be very enriching and stimulating, mm-hmm. and more about opportunities to really talk and talk with both the artists and the artworks and the viewers.
So it sounds like there's quite a few opportunities for different artists to speak. Who are the speakers?
Okay, so the keynote speakers are people like Rod, who's coming down again to lead the Babylon on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But we've also got a wonderful woman, Rebecca Forgash, who's the director of the Jewish Museum of Australia, speaking about art and memory. And she holds that objects retain memory, and, you know, so that's going to be really interesting on the Thursday. We've got Mark Pearson, who until recently was in Melbourne with Urban Seed, and he's a curator of worship. So he uses artwork in church, in worship. And he's going to lead a whole day's conversation about the arts in Christian ministry. We've got Rachel Cohen from the ABC Spirit of Things coming down to talk about poetics and to engage in conversation too. So really interesting people. And then a whole panoply of other people from Melbourne and beyond who will lead smaller little conversation pods, we're calling them, where they're like, you know, electives. You can choose which one you're going to go to, and you can just decide on the day really what sort of sparks your interest.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm looking over your shoulder. There's a little bit of music going on here as well, is there?
Yeah, the Friday night is an opportunity for people who love music and poetry to really engage in something quite unique, a premiere of some choral music that the Tudor choristers will perform. And what's happening there is Kim Cuneo, who's a new music composer, has taken the winning poem from the 2010 Blake Prize for Poetry and created a beautiful choral setting. And
fabulous.
So it'll be really interesting because, you know, it's taking one art form and then translating it, transposing it to another. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that in the contemporary art world is most interesting, is when one form informs another form. Mm-hmm. And Rachel Cohen's going to do a pre-concert talk that night, and she'll be talking about the way we read sacred texts, bringing a poetics to that, a poetic sensibility. So that's going to be really interesting.
So, gosh, I mean, just a packed program full of amazing topics and subjects and current art.
Yeah, and engaging with contemporary Australia and multiculturalism. Yeah. So on the Saturday with this Conversations with Art, we're actually, it's going to be a little bit like speed dating with art. Like you just go and choose one artwork to stand and there'll be someone there giving their perspective and then inviting you to converse with them. Then you go on to someone else and they're going to be from, you know, there's Islamic a Muslim artist speaking, someone from the Islamic Council. There'll be some people interpreting with Auslan, so the deaf community are welcome to come and engage. It's going to be really fun.
Amazing. So if we want to attend, can anyone attend? And
sure.
When and where and how? And
okay, the conference runs Thursday the 31st of March, Friday the 1st of April, and Saturday the 2nd of April. And you can book for all three or just any one of those days of conversation. And we've really made the Saturday really open to anybody, you know, for the public to come along and just enjoy.
Sounds amazing. And the website that people can find more information on?
Yeah, if you go to www.blakeprizemelbourne.com.au, you'll find a section there on the conference in particular and other public programs and all sorts of things there.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, do you want to introduce your next track?
Sure. So I chose this beautiful piece by a friend of mine, Fiona Roque, who's just going to launch her new CD restoration very soon. And this track, Talus, My Dad and Me, is a very beautiful melding of the traditional, so a traditional hymn, and her reflections thinking about her dad who loved that hymn. Mm. And she's reframed it. And I think in a way that's a lot of what we see in the Blake too, is old traditions, old spiritualities transformed to relate to our current zeitgeist.
Terrific. Let's have a listen.
When in the night I sleepless lie, my soul with heaven.
Hello, this is Katie Lang on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
And we're on Spirit Spa with Joy the Priest, Bertie the Pom, and Andrew the Poof, and our special guest, Chris Rowntree. Now, it's time that we all look forward to when we strip off and get in the spa.
Again, that's twice we've stripped off tonight.
Oh, I know, but it's a bit warm in here.
But it is hot. The first time we danced, and now we're jumping into the spa.
That's all right. And what are we talking about tonight, Bertie?
Now, the Spirit Spa tonight is how colour can affect our moods. We've just spent the last 45 minutes having the most wonderful discussion about spirituality and art. Thank you to Chris for kicking us off with all of that. And I thought I'd carry on the theme of colour. And to quote Pablo Picasso, colours, like features, follow the changes of the emotions. And the colours we like or prefer reflect our personality and influence our moods at different times. And also each colour affects us in certain ways. Colour can be used in healing to bring balance and harmony within the psyche and the body. And depending on what colour we choose for healing, the colour can relax or stimulate us. And many psychologists, certainly in the ancient times, used colour therapy to treat people with psychological problems. Maybe I should try that. But it was only temporary, of course, because it doesn't last very long, because of course the mood, one's mood changes. And it is all to do as well. Everyone and everything has an aura. And our aura is filled with colours that reflect and depict each and every facet of ourselves. And an aura is, in case we don't know what aura is the electromagnetic field that surrounds the human body. And the human energy field is a collection of electromagnetic energies of varying densities that permeate through and emit from the physical body of a living person. You know the expression, we say that, don't we? We say, oh, they have a beautiful aura.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. I'm looking at you when I said that. You look surprised.
Yes, I was.
But these particles of energy are suspended in an oval shape around a human body, about 2 or 3 feet around us. They surround us on all sides, and they go above our head, and they go below our feet into the ground. And this is our aura.
Oh, okay. So I can think about mood rings. Remember mood rings?
Mood rings, yeah.
They used to change the colour depending on, yeah, and what I suppose
another word for aura, I guess we talk about people's charisma or we talk about people's persona. I think that's kind of all the same genre of words, isn't it? And what we're describing as a person's aura. And a big part of that makeup is colour. So I've been researching all the different colours. So, right, I'm going to pick on the priest to start with. So you walk into a clothes store or a furniture store, or you're in Bunnings where I know you spend hours and hours. Hours and hours. It's like when she's got nothing to do, she goes to Bunnings. And you're picking paint, for example. What are you drawn to? What colours are you drawn to? And we'll see what that says about
purple.
You. Purple.
I never would have guessed. Never would have guessed.
So ecclesiastical.
Isn't it just what this
I'm
is? What
in the SES, so orange comes into it too. Anything orange, I notice.
Hang on. Right, we have to start with purple.
So, but, yes, my colour's purple.
Right, the colour of mystery and privacy. And then, hang on a minute, is this right? Of sophistication and wisdom.
Oh, no. Oh, it's totally wrong.
I think it's the oranges she's needing.
Oh. We'll get on to the orange in a minute. And it affects the brain activity in a positive way.
Oh, that's a good thing.
It is also the colour of royalty. Mm-hmm. It suggests luxury and wealth.
Oh, it failed again.
Now, listen to this, though. Because it is rare in nature, purple can appear artificial. Mm. Mm. Oh, so you've got a bit of a mixed bag there, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Now, look, let's have a quick look at orange, and then I'll pick on someone else. Orange, it's associated with fun, good times and happy days. Therefore, it gives the feeling of energy, vitality and joie de vivre.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? It's quite a simple colour, orange. Yeah. It's just a go for orange.
It's a party colour. I'm a simple
person. It's a party colour. Chris, come on then. What colour are you drawn to?
I love tealy green. I'm a bit of a mermaid and I love the sea.
Now, green's interesting. Let's see what green says. Symbolises nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest colour on the eye and it can improve vision.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's a calming, refreshing colour associated with generosity, wealth and good luck.
Oh, well, 2 out of 3 is not bad.
I mean, I'm sitting in amongst wealthy people. Yeah. This is very good. People waiting, actually, I've heard of this because I've actually been in the green room in the BBC in London. People waiting to appear on TV quite often sit in the green room because it's relaxing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's absolutely true. Now, let's pick on the boys. Now, we've got Peter the panellist and we've got Andrew the poof. So, right, boys, favourite colour? What are you drawn to?
Well, I too also like green, but I was thinking about it a little bit more and I think I've got a lot of white coloured things in my closet as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? What does that have in store for me?
We were giggling about that, weren't we? Because, of course, yes. We all went virgin or not.
Innocence and purity.
Yes.
It says brides wear white to symbolise innocence and purity. I don't know when you'll be a bride, but anyway. White reflects light and is considered a summer colour. White is popular in decorating because it goes with everything. And it's a cop-out. And in fashion, and because it is light and neutral. Doctors and nurses wear white to imply sterility.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll take the innocent and pure bit.
Do you want the innocent and pure? And you wear black as well, weren't you saying you wear black as well?
I do wear a lot of black.
All right, I have to tell you about this then. Black is the colour of authority and power. Uh-oh. Don't let that go to his head. It's popular in fashion because it makes people look thinner.
Oh, that's why I wear it.
That might be why I wear
it. No, you don't need, you don't need it for that reason. Black also implies submission.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
And here's one for the priest. Priests wear black to signify submission to God.
No, it's because it makes me look thin, darling.
Come on then, Peter, the panellist. What colours are you drawn to?
I wear black, and I love wearing black. And but for colours in the house, I like green.
You see, you boys, you're all black, white and green, aren't you? You're another greenie. What? Now, hang on, I'm going to dig deeper into green.
No, before you start digging deeper, what colour are you into?
Come
on. I want to know that, I want to look up that. Come on. No, you can't look at them to pick the best colour.
We've rehearsed. I love the reds, and because red is the colour of love.
Red is the colour of energy and vitality.
Yep.
People who love this colour are usually full of life, so wearing red or having it around us will increase our activity levels. Goodness me, she goes like full of the gate now. We don't want any more. Since it is an extreme colour, red clothing might not help people in negotiations or confrontations.
No, I could never be a diplomat, could I?
No, definitely not.
The only question I've got is, why do people choose colours during fashions? Like, it becomes, like, if you can remember the 70s, those browns were in, and you had oranges and greens in, and then in the 80s you went pastels. Wonder what drives colour changes and people's changing colour.
Well, I think it's the fashion gurus, isn't it? The people who drive the future fashions. But you do. I think you have to make a decision, don't you? Because I mean, I've gone and had what they call, you know, my colours done. So I've gone to this colour person, and she looked at my makeup and my clothes, the colour of my eyes, colour of my skin, colour of my hair, you know. And you get your colours done. So I've got this little wallet, and I couldn't find it to bring it in because it's probably still in a box somewhere. But I've got a little wallet full of colours, and they're the colours that work for me.
And it tells you should wear this colour or you should not wear this colour.
No, it tells me the colours I should be buying. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, fascinating stuff.
And there's a world of difference between a mustard yellow and a citrus yellow.
Isn't there just? They're almost two different colours. Mm. Now, have we got time for one more song? Chris, introduce your next song for us, please.
Okay, so are we at the last track?
Yep.
Yeah, so Dire Straits. I'm a bit of a Dire Straits tragic. I've always loved their music and the guitar work of Mark Knopfler. The other great thing I think about them is that they always have such a great commentary, social commentary. And that's another thing about the Blake. The works are always in response to current issues, well, oftentimes. So even in something as wacky as Twisting by the Pool, is really quite a cynical lyric when you hear it. And I just love this dance music.
Here we go. Dire Straits, Sultan of Swing.
And you're with Spirit Lounge, and we're now going to say goodbye. And a big thank you to Chris.
Thanks so much.
For being a part of the program, for bringing us some wonderful music.
Pleasure.
Make sure to check us out for any more information on what we've been talking about tonight. It's going to be up on our Facebook page. You can find us by searching for the Spirit Lounge 949. And also, we've just put up our blog, which is the Spirit Lounge. SpiritLounge949.weebly.com, WEEBLY.com.
And so it's goodbye from Joy the Priest, Bertie the Pom, and Andrew the Poof. Tune in next week.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy94.9. Support Joy94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.